It really is a joy to be here with you this morning. Appreciate your being here. We do have visitors, and we really are glad you're here. Want to encourage you to come back if you can at all and be with us again. John mentioned the VBS that's coming up, and some of you that are visiting and maybe some that are fairly new members here may not know, but very often churches have vacation Bible schools, and it's just for the kids, but our VBS is for everybody. We have an adult class, we have young adult class, we have teenage class, and for all the way down to little bitty preschool, little bitty ones. So you have classes for all ages. We're going to begin next Sunday morning in the class period, and our VBS first class period will be our class period next Sunday morning. Then we'll have the regular worship service after that, and then following that Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we'll have the VBS also. So I want to encourage you to be making plans to be here for that and come and be with us. Over the years, for the most part, I have taught the auditorium class. Last year, I believe it was, Matt taught the auditorium class, and this year we're going to rotate. So I'll be teaching probably three different age groups this year. So I'll be teaching in different classes, and Matt will be in here part of the time, and I'll be in here part of the time in the auditorium. So for the adults. So I want to encourage you to be here. Make your plans to be here. Also this evening at 5 o'clock, we'll meet again, and we'll be singing. First Sunday night of each month, we spend our service in singing. So if you enjoy singing, come and be with us. We always have a really good singing. Bring somebody with you if you want to, and we'd love to have visitors for that as well. If you don't like to sing, come anyway and learn to like to sing, because singing is good. It helps us to serve God. It helps us to praise God. It builds us up, and it encourages us. So I want to make you aware of that and encourage you to come, and we will have a lot of different song leaders. We have all the way from some toddlers that get up, and we help them lead a song to some of us that are older and want to encourage you to be here for the singing as well. Mentioned already that Brendan and Katie Kirby were married yesterday, and we're happy for them, and they're on their honeymoon, and wish them well and hope that they'll have safe travels and be back with us when their time is up on the honeymoon. We didn't mention, but 61 years ago yesterday, Billy and Marge Young were married, and we are really happy for them. Yeah. Billy has served as an elder here for, I don't know how long, but over 30 years, maybe closer to 40, I don't know, but I know it's over 30. He's done an excellent work as an elder here. Marge has really assisted him in his work as an elder and been there with him and for him all the way through these years, and we just are so happy for them. I don't remember not knowing Marge and Billy. Marge helped give Diane a wedding shower when we got married, so we go way, way back. But we're really happy for them and in their celebration of their anniversary, and we appreciate so much what they do and have done for the church here at Ephesus. This morning I want to talk to you about a story that's found, and it actually begins, we're going to talk about one in John chapter 11, but the story actually begins in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we find that Jesus is going from one place to another, and he goes through this little town that's about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem that's called Bethany. And there's this lady there in Bethany that invites Jesus to come home with her. And so Jesus goes, and her name is Martha. And when she gets there, and Jesus is there, Martha has a sister named Mary and a brother named Lazarus. And Jesus is, if you put it in our modern day setting, they're sitting in the den and they're talking, and Martha's in the kitchen working and trying to get the meal ready and all that. And finally, Martha gets all frustrated. She goes into Jesus and she says, "Lord, won't you tell my sister to come in here and help me?" How many sisters have said that before? She said, "Tell her to come in here and help me." She said, "I'm doing all the work and she's sitting in here with you." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better things because she's chosen to listen to the Word of God." And from this introduction of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we find that a great friendship was formed with Jesus. And it doesn't mention a lot of people in the ministry of Jesus other than Peter and James and John and Andrew, but usually just Peter, James, and John. You find them as being close, and you'd sort of expect that as being apostles. But outside the realm of apostles, the only ones that really are mentioned as being really, really special to Jesus is Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in fact, we're told at least three different times that Jesus loved them. And so this friendship is formed. Now later on in the ministry of Jesus, we find in John chapter 11 that Jesus is teaching and he's some distance away, and Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. And he's not just sort of sick, he's really sick. And they say, Lord, please come to him. Now you remember that they had seen Jesus heal a lot of people of a lot of different diseases. And so I'm sure in their minds, they're thinking, if we can get Jesus down here, he's going to heal Lazarus. And after all, we know that Jesus loves Lazarus. But Jesus, rather than immediately going, and it doesn't even indicate that he tells somebody to go back and tell him I'll come or not come or anything else, he just sort of looks at his disciples and he says, well, this is happening for the glory of God. And then he goes about his teaching. And they are sort of surprised and say, Lord, are you not going? And he says, well, you know, this is all happening for the glory of God. And so 2 days later, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, well, Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. They said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, then maybe we need to leave him alone because that'll help him get well. And Jesus said, no, I don't mean that. You don't understand it. Lazarus is dead. And I'm going to go raise him. And this is happening for the glory of God and so that you can believe. Now, one of the disciples spoke up and says, Lord, last time we were in Judea down there near Jerusalem, the Pharisees tried to stone you to death. And if you back up to the chapter previous to this, you can read about it. And we just barely escaped them. Now, if we go back down there, they're going to kill you. If they kill you, they're going to kill us. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. We're going. And this is where the disciples said, well, if he's going to go, we might as well go die with him. And so they head back down to Bethany. Now, as they approach Bethany, Martha got word that Jesus is coming. And she leaves the house and she runs out to where Jesus is coming. And she meets Jesus. And you can just see the emotion and what's said and the tears in her eyes. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, Martha, he will live. And she said, I know he'll live at the resurrection. And Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, the chosen one sent from God, the Messiah. And so Martha went to the house and she secretly or privately told Mary, said, the Master is here and he's asking for you. And Mary jumped up and ran, and it says there was a great crowd of people at the house and they were all crying and wailing, and they thought that Mary was just going to go to the tomb to where Lazarus had been buried. And so they followed her. And so now this great crowd of people come to where Jesus is and Mary is there. And again, with the same kind of emotion, you can see Mary as she approaches Jesus and she falls down before him. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Show me where he's buried." They said he was in a tomb. It was a cave, and there was a rock over the front of it. And when they got there, Jesus said, "Just roll the stone away." Martha said, "Lord, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. His body's going to stink." And Jesus prayed. And it's an interesting prayer because he prayed to God and he said, "Lord, I'm praying this not for my benefit, but for the benefit of these people, that they will know that you sent me and I am the Son of God. And what I'm doing is from you." And then in a loud voice, he looked at the tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, having been dead for 4 days in that tomb, got up and walked out. And then it's an interesting statement made. It says that many of them believed in Jesus because of this. We were talking this morning in our Bible class about how can somebody not believe when they see all the miracles of Jesus that he performed? How could they not believe in him? And many of them were amazed and they believed in Jesus because he had raised somebody from the dead that they knew for a fact had been in the tomb for 4 days. And I suspect when they rolled that stone away, the body did stink. And there was no question that Lazarus was dead. They unwrapped the grave clothes off of him and they set him free. But it says some of them went to the Pharisees and reported what Jesus had done. And rather than believe, the Pharisees convened a council together to decide what they were going to do. And the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sadducees. And they said, "If this man keeps doing these miracles like this, everybody's going to follow him. And if they do, then the Romans are going to come and take away our nation and we'll lose our place." And so from that point on, they plotted how they were going to kill Jesus. Now, as we look at this story, there's a lot of things that I think we can learn lessons from. Lazarus got sick and the sisters called for Jesus to come and Jesus waited. And then Lazarus died. And put yourself in the place of Mary and Martha. Forget about Jesus, where he is and what he's doing, because it doesn't tell us what's going on. But you just put yourself over here now as Mary and Martha, and you have sent word to Jesus that you know he loves us and you know he cares. And we sent word, but he doesn't come. Does he really care? Does Jesus really know what's going on? Does he even want to do anything for us? What were they thinking about Jesus? And I suspect by the second day that their doubts were really big, and after Lazarus had died and had been in that tomb for 4 days, I can just imagine what Mary and Martha were thinking about Jesus and even thinking about God. What would you think if it had been you? You see, the fact is that many times we don't know. But you know what we are told in this story is that Jesus loved Lazarus. And Jesus loved Martha. And Jesus loved Mary. It wasn't that he didn't care. And yet I feel sure that they were thinking that that was the case. But Jesus did care. Jesus told his disciples to wait and that the weight was in order to show the power of God and to bring glory to God. And what you see here is you see something that is not so obvious to everyone, but behind the scenes, God is working and God is doing something that they don't know about and they don't understand. And the timing of Jesus doesn't fit the timing of Mary and Martha. It doesn't fit the timing of the disciples. But it fits the timing of God. 2 days later, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, okay, now we'll go. They didn't understand. All they knew was, if we go back, there's a good chance we're going to die, but we'll go anyway. We'll go with Jesus. That's what we're going to do. And when Jesus came, Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here. Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here. They did not and they could not see the plan of God. And they had no idea what was about to happen. And as I look at that, I wonder, do we second guess God in our lives? How many times have we had something to happen and we pray fervently and we don't see God acting? We don't hear an answer from God. We don't understand why God is doing something or not doing something that we think is so necessary to be done. What could be more necessary than Jesus in His power to come and heal Lazarus before he died? And yet we see many times today that we begin to doubt and we begin to not trust God because He doesn't act when we think He should act. He doesn't act how we think He should act. He doesn't do what we think He should do. But God knows. And we should never second guess God, even when we don't understand. Martha expressed her faith in Jesus. She expressed her faith in God. When she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She was saying, Lord, you could have healed him, and I know you could have healed him. She expressed her faith in God and in the resurrection of the dead when she said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. But Jesus then said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? And she said, yes, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the promised Messiah. But it wasn't, but just a little bit later they got to the tomb. And when Jesus said, move the stone, Martha said, wait a minute, his body's going to stink. She didn't think that Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. I doubt that she even really understood that he could do that. In spite of all of her faith, in spite of all of the confessions of faith that she has made, her understanding of what was happening was shallow, and therefore her faith was weak. And it is so easy for us to see the weakness of others, but so many times, because we don't have the understanding that we want to have or we think we should have, our faith grows weak. Because we face what we think is impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And what we think is best may not be what's best. And when we think it ought to happen may not be the best time for it to happen. God knows best. And what we need to learn to do is to trust Him no matter what. Jesus wept, verse 35. Many of you know that, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept, I believe, because He felt the pain of Mary and Martha and their friends. It says they were all crying. And it says that Jesus was deeply moved and greatly troubled. And Jesus wept. You see, He had compassion. And the people said, oh, how He loved Him. Jesus showed His humanity because His flesh, like every one of us. And He showed His humanity when He wept. I've heard people make arguments about Jesus wept for this reason or that reason or some other reason. Oh, it's no question He knew He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But it seems to me in the context here that it's very plain that the reason Jesus wept is not for some theological theory, but simply because He cared about Mary, He cared about Martha, and He wept because He was caught up in the emotion of the moment. Jesus was human, just like we are. And He loved them. And He hated to see them in such pain and hurting so deeply. And Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He feels our pain. He feels our grief and whatever sorrow we have. He hurts with us. He knows because He has been where we've been. But Jesus offers us peace and comfort. Jesus offers us joy that the world cannot understand. Even in our worst trials and our most difficult times, He's with us and He will sustain us. We may not understand all of what's going on, but we can trust Jesus to always be with us. The question is, do we turn it over to Him and trust Him? I've had a number of people tell me over the years that they don't have a lot of problem turning their problems over to God. They just have a problem leaving them with Him. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. It's hard to say, okay, I'm going to give it to you, Lord, and then a few minutes later, we're right back where we were, worrying about it again or torn up in grief or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with feeling grief, and there's nothing wrong with being sorrowful at the appropriate time, and there's nothing wrong with hurting when we hurt. Jesus did. But we need to trust God to get us through. Jesus prayed. And as I studied the gospel accounts, I'm impressed with the times that Jesus prayed. And every major decision that Jesus is recorded of making, He prayed before He made that decision. It says that Jesus often prayed. Another place it says, as was it His habit, He got off by Himself and He prayed. How much time do we spend in prayer? Do we pray before every major decision or event in our lives? You see, we need to spend time in prayer. That not only builds our faith, but it shows our faith in God. Jesus cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came out of the grave, raised from the dead, and many believed in Jesus. Some went and reported it to the Pharisees. When we see God working today, how do we react? Do we actually see God working in our lives? If we don't, we need to either start praying to God or we need to start opening our eyes or both. Because God is active and God is alive and God is well and He's working. And He will work in us if we will trust Him. And when we see God working, do we give Him thanks for answering our prayers? Do we acknowledge His greatness and His intervention? Do we really believe? Or do we help the skeptics with our unbelief and our doubts? You see, it's easy for us to point a finger, but we need to look at ourselves and how we are with God. The Pharisees convened the council. They decided that Jesus must be stopped and put to death. Even the high priest prophesied that it is better that one man die for the whole nation than the whole nation be destroyed. He had no idea that he was prophesying at the time he did it. He didn't know that what he was saying was from God and that he was predicting the death of Jesus on behalf of all men. And yet what we see is that we often don't see God's plan. And God can use even His enemies to carry out His plan in our lives. God doesn't have to have somebody that wants to work for Him. All He's got to do is make somebody else work for Him. And what seems like tragedy may be His working to His glory so that our lives will bring glory to Him and honor Him. And there's a lot of things that happen in life that we do not understand and we cannot understand and will never understand. So often when tragedy hits, somebody looks at me and they say, "Why did God let this happen?" And my answer usually is, "I don't know." Because God doesn't tell us why always. But I can tell you this, it doesn't matter why it happened. I can trust God that He will do all things for the good of those who love them, who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's His promise. And it may not be good, but He'll use it for good. I may not understand it, but He knows what He's doing. As one man said, God don't make no mistakes. What we can do is we can choose to trust God and get through whatever we face. Or we can blame Him. We can turn away from Him. Our faith is shown the most when we understand the least. When Abraham was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, he did not understand why or what was going on. But he did. When Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on that altar, he did not understand why, but he did it. And today, when we don't understand why God wants something out of us or why things happen to us, we don't even have to understand. We just trust God. And we know that He'll make it work for our good. Do you trust God? Is your faith really in Jesus Christ? He has promised that we all will die. He's promised that there will be a judgment. There will be a resurrection. And we'll all stand before God in judgment. The question is, will your resurrection be to life eternal? Or will it be to eternal death? The choice is yours. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. You can give your life to Jesus in faith. Turning away from sin. Turning away from every evil in your life. And upon your confession of faith in Jesus as the Son of God, you can be buried in baptism and have your sins all washed away. If you're here this morning and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.